It's nice to be back here with you in the new year. Last time I was here, I had a wonderful banquet with you, so thank you for allowing me and my whole family to join you for your Christmas party. So that was a real treat. My family finally got to see where I go every month, and she now knows I'm not just making it up and going off and playing golf or something, so I'm actually coming to a church. Anyways, this morning, I wanted to share with you these verses, and they sound a little bit repetitive, and we'll get into these verses in a minute, but to start off, I want to give you a little bit of the background as to why I wanted to share these verses. You see, as most of you know, I'm a teacher at a Christian school, and one of my students asked me a particularly tricky question. Now, for some of you, your answer will immediately spring to light. And he said, "Mr. Air, is it okay for Christians to get tattoos?" Now, my upbringing, I'm from a very traditional family, and my first immediate thought was, absolutely not. If you ever do something like that, my parents will beat you. Oh, wait. Sorry. I'm talking to one of my students. So I couldn't let that come out of my mouth. And also, they're at the age where they're supposed to begin questioning things and making decisions for themselves. And I'm there as a guide. So just because it's my opinion, and I have wonderful friends that have tattoos, so if you have a tattoo, I'm not meaning to badmouth anyone. But what I needed to do was realize that this is a loaded question, because I knew the parents of the student that asked me, and they are very strict. And if he even got close to a tattoo parlor, he would be in trouble probably. So I had to steer him to think for himself, guide him with biblical truth, being a Christian and also being in a Christian school, and not tell him what to do like a father might want to do. So one of the verses that came to my mind, which was this, "Everything is permissible for me." And I thought, I can't share that verse, because something inside me said, no, that's not the right verse. And so I led him to another verse, and I said, well, you know, there's a passage in Scripture where Paul is talking to the church, and he says that our body is the temple of God. And so we need to treat our bodies as though it's God's temple. Then I also added in, to kind of balance that a little bit, I also said, but if you were in certain cultures, it's expected to get tattooed. So some cultures, you need to do these, and they would identify you as part of the community by doing these things. And there are other communities where you want to be very careful with kind of changing your body. So that was kind of my answer. And I don't know if it satisfied him or not. I was protecting my own career. And I didn't want parents to phone me up and saying, what are you doing telling my kid? Oh, yeah, whatever you want. Sure, it's not going to hurt. Well, it might while it's going in needles. But I was protecting myself, I admit. But at the same time, this is where this sermon came out of. Because as I was thinking about it, why was I feeling so uncomfortable with sharing the verse, "Everything is permissible"? And in fact, all my life since I've been a Christian, I've been uncomfortable with that verse. Because I'm thinking, well, if I'm supposed to be following God, how can everything be permissible? And so it kind of made me uncomfortable, the verse. And so I just thought, you know what? I've been through seminary. How come I don't know the answer? So I read this verse. Everything is permissible to me. And it was in quotations, and I thought, well, why is it in quotations? And I'd noticed the quotes before, but I hadn't really delved into why the quotation marks are there. So if you have a Bible, you'll see that. Otherwise, you just have to take my word for it. They're in there. It's in quotes. Everything is permissible for me. And then the quotes end, but not everything is beneficial, and that's not in quotes. So one part of the verse is in quotations and one isn't. And so I was perplexed, and I thought, I need to find out why. Then I found out why the quotes are there, and then I understood why I was always uncomfortable with that verse and people that quote that verse to rationalize what they want to do. How many of you are good at rationalizing your behavior? Oh, I won't look. Anyone? A lot of us are, right? For instance, one more potato chip won't hurt. Huh? And anyone relate to me? Or just those in university still? Or how about this one? Well, I'll do my homework after one more commercial break. Okay, I'm talking to myself here then. It's easy to rationalize your behavior and kind of justify, well, you know, it's not that bad. So, therefore it's okay. You see, if we compare what we're thinking we might want to do, and maybe it's just you know what? I got this really juicy news. And it's like bursting in me, and I gotta tell someone. But you know you really shouldn't. So, okay, I won't tell anyone. Well, maybe just my wife. Then it's okay, right? Well, no. The Bible is very clear. Don't gossip. And yet, well, I'm not blabbing it all over, and I know my wife is trustworthy, and I'll just talk to my wife. And it's easy to rationalize things because it makes us feel better about, you know, our sin. Really, that's what rationalizing is, right? We can justify or rationalize our behavior so that we feel better about ourselves. So, everything is permissible. We're going to look into this verse and some other crazy things that some Christians believe right after we pray. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning that we can come, we can worship you here together, that we can focus our hearts and our minds upon you, that we can fellowship together and enjoy each other's company as we pursue you. And Lord, really, as we're kind of starting off a brand new year, many of us may have a resolution to draw closer to you this year. And I pray, Lord, that as we come to your word, especially when we come together as a congregation, that you would speak to us and that we would learn new things from your word, and that we would not just hear things or learn things, but then we would also be able to apply them into the way that we live so that we do please you. So God, we ask that you would speak to us and challenge us, change us, reinforce the things that we have learned that we know that we're doing well in. And God, we want to please you now with our attitudes as we sit under the authority of you and your word together today. And we pray these things together in Christ's name. Amen. Now, my points, sometimes I have them laid out on PowerPoint. I don't have PowerPoint today, and it was good. See, God was leading me today. I would have been blinded. So now we have this new layout here, so now next time I come, I'll have PowerPoint, and it'll be this short, so I won't get blinded. So you had to pay attention, because there's no PowerPoint to, you got to listen. Okay, the Bible says everything is permissible, right? That was right out of the scripture. That's what the Bible says. Well, not quite. I think God may have something to say about that. That's why that's the title of our sermon this morning. God may have something to say about that. You know, there was this movie based on a novel. Maybe some of you have seen it, The Hunger Games. Anyone? Okay. If you haven't seen it or you don't know what it's about, It's a basically a bunch of people put together in a confined area, and the object is to kill everyone else or be killed. The idea? Everything goes. Everything is permissible. You want to save your life. Part of that process, is everyone familiar with the story of the Hunger Games? Or everyone still asleep? Okay, Hunger Games. Okay, if you haven't read, I don't know if it's a good book or not. I haven't read it. I did see the movie because I wanted to see it because all of my students had seen it. So I thought, okay, let's see what they're seeing. Okay, so part of the process of getting into this thing, I mean, you don't want to be in it, but if you are forced into this arena, I mean, it's 1 in 24 chance that you're going to survive because only one survivor. And one of the things that you want to do is you want to impress some people. Because if you impress them, then they become like your supporters. And in the middle of this game, if you're hurt or something, they might kind of like give you a Band-Aid or something that will help you. And it'll kind of fly into this game and it'll float in. I don't know. It's kind of strange. So you want to get these supporters. And so the things that you do, you know, will benefit you. So you're nice to the people. Hey, you're looking good. You know, remember me when I'm in the middle of the game. You know, and you're trying to schmooze people, I suppose. And so everything is permissible. You get these people supporting you, and it'll benefit you. But here, Paul is writing, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. And so in Hunger Games, everything's permissible, and everything's beneficial. Now, in the church background for 1 Corinthians, Paul is really writing to what I would consider a very crazy, weird church. I wouldn't probably have wanted to go there, and it wasn't like the shining church to represent Christianity. It was a church that was making all sorts of mistakes. It was messing up all over the place, and I thought, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 just to kind of give you an example of how kind of off the path this church had gone. They were doing all sorts of crazy things. And in 1 Corinthians 5, it says this, starting in verse 1, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans or non-church people. A man had his father's wife, and you are proud?" You see, that's how warped this church had become. They began boasting in these things that even churchgoers, that non-churchgoers would be a part of. And they're proud of it. And they're saying, yeah, look at this guy. Wow, look at what he's done. And to us, we're thinking, that's crazy. It's crazy. And yet, and Paul points it out. I mean, if we were there, Paul says in the next verse, shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and put him out of your fellowship, the man who did this? You see, Paul's setting them straight. You guys are boasting in this, which is so obvious sin and against God. And Paul's saying, why are you reveling in that? You should be getting rid of that guy, and you should be filled with grief or trying to restore him and getting him to think properly. Paul's really, in that verse, he's saying everything is not permissible. You see, this church had messed everything up. Well, actually, not quite everything. You see, they had learned from Paul. They had learned some really good lessons, lessons that we need to learn. So let me give you a couple of those lessons first. Okay, one of the first really good lessons that they learned was they understood forgiveness. Wow, that's great. You see, they realized that you could be forgiven of your sin, and therefore, go and sin, right? If you're forgiven, past, present, and future, you can go out and do whatever you want, right? You're already forgiven. You see, they understood the doctrine or the teaching of God of forgiveness, but what they did was they took it way too far, because in Romans chapter 6, this is what Paul, again, see, Paul wrote half the New Testament, or more than half, And he's really good. You see, he taught this church, and he taught them well. But then when he left, they began to maybe fixate on certain things. This is what it says in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound? And in one sense, I think maybe that is what the church was thinking. Was, wow, we have forgiveness? We can do whatever we want. Because we're already forgiven, so why not? If there's no ramifications, there's no penalty, there's no, nothing bad will happen, why not? Well, Paul carried on. So shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And he answers the question. It was kind of a rhetorical question. Hopefully you already knew this. By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? See, they understood the forgiveness part. They didn't understand that we were forgiven so that we could now live in freedom. And you see, they did understand a little bit about the freedom. You see, they understood that we were now free from the law. But Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And so they understood that we now have freedom in Christ, but they again took it to the extreme and went, if I have freedom in Christ, which means I don't have to follow the law anymore, I can do whatever I want. That's crazy thinking. Or I hope you think that's crazy thinking. Because that's not what Paul meant at all in as he's teaching about freedom in Christ and as he's teaching about forgiveness of our sin. In Romans chapter 8, probably many of us have this verse memorized, but I have to use my Bible because I'm getting old and I don't want to mess it up. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. See, they are understanding things. There's no condemnation, meaning no problems, right? If we sin, oh well. They understood that if we confess our sins, we're forgiven, so we can go out and do whatever we want and then confess, and then we're wow, that's such warped thinking, isn't it? I hope, I'm not seeing heads nod, but it is. It's warped thinking. It cheapens grace. It cheapens the grace that we've received. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, yes, it's true. He took the sin, our sin, your sin, upon himself, and we were released from that sin's hold on us. We were forgiven of our sin. That's all solid doctrine, but we can't rest there. See, our freedom is not to allow us to do whatever we want. It's not to then allow us in our flesh to go out and allow our flesh to control us. Because if we do, everything's permissible. Romans 8, chapter 8, or chapter 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. Wonderful, right? And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. You see, we are set free so that we can now begin living according to the Spirit of God. That is how we should be living. In John chapter 10, verse 27, it says this, "My sheep know my voice." Jesus was saying that. If you are my follower, you'll know my voice. It's a foundational thing. And this kind of leads us into our second point. And I know I haven't even explained the quotes yet. Don't worry, I'll get there. So the second point is this, voices. Simply that, voices. What's that? What am I talking about? Okay, there are lots of different voices out there to hear. Some of them are not that far out. Some of them are from within even. So what kind of voices are there? Well, there's the world. Okay, now I'm going to explain the quotes. Okay, the quotes. Oh, got to flip to the right page here. 1 Corinthians 6 and also in 10. Everything is permissible for me, is what you say. But not everything is beneficial. How many of you, if you have your Bibles open, have that extra little couple of words that I said, that you say? Or you say, everything is permissible for me. And does anyone have that in their version of the Bible? Reverend Stan, Jonathan? Okay. Mine doesn't have that. NIV does not have that. But it has the quotes. So you have to ask yourself, what are the quotes there for? Well, the quotes mean you say. And see, this was a saying of the church. And so they would gather together. And if you've ever been to a pep rally, I remember when I was in high school, I only went to pep rallies in high school because when I went to university, I did my own thing. But in high school, I remember my gym teacher, he'd always go like this, iron him out. Anyone know that one? And then the whole school would go, iron him out. And he'd say it again, iron him out. And we'd all go, iron him out. Then he'd say it a third time, iron him out, iron him out. And then we'd all go, smooth. Okay, it was just weird, I know. In other words, we were going to pummel our opponents into the ground. We were going to iron them out. We were going to flatten them, basically. We were going to beat them. Okay, I'll spell it out. Okay, we were going to win. It was a pep rally, right? It was we're going to win. And when we get out to the stands, we're going to cheer our guys on. And our guys or our girls, they're going to, you know, kill that other school, whatever, you know. That's what you do, right? And it's our pep rally, and it's what we say. Iron them out. And so this is something that the church would say. Maybe from the front, I don't know. Maybe they'd say, everything is permissible. And then everyone would say, to me, everything is permissible to me. And that's what the church would say. See, this was a church saying, everything's permissible to me. In other words, I can do whatever I want. You can do whatever you want. This is our chant. This is what we say. Everybody, let's go out and do whatever we want. So Paul is now saying, this is what you say. Now let's contrast that with truth, shall we? I'm not very good at that, you know. Woo. Some people can do that. But, okay, this is what you guys say, but let me tell you something. This is the truth. You say this, but God says this. So everything is permissible to me, but not everything is beneficial. In other words, get your head screwed on, kids. These are his kids, right? He founded the church there. This is his baby. Come on, everything is permissible to me, but I will not be mastered by anything. So I'm a slave to Christ. See, that's what you guys say. This is the truth. Hear the truth. Let it penetrate into your heart. Stop chanting that junk. Okay, over in chapter 10. He must have been upset about this because he's doing it again. Everything is permissible, in quotes. That's what you say. But not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. See, honestly speaking, we can go out and do whatever we want. God's probably not going to stop us. That's a scary thing. Because our hearts are wickedly deceitful, and we are very capable of awful things. Just because we have freedom to do what we want, God doesn't have robots down here on earth. He has us. But even though we can do things, they're not beneficial. They're not drawing us closer to God. They're not benefiting our walk with Him. And that really, isn't that our purpose, is to draw closer to God and to build our relationship with Him and to worship Him and to have fellowship with Him? It's not benefiting that at all. Paul carries on in chapter 10. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. You see, those church sayings, everything's permissible or everything's permissible to me, is very selfish and self-seeking. Yeah, go out and do what you want. Make yourself feel good. But now he's saying, you know what, that feel-good theology is wrong. Nobody should be seeking out his own good, but the good of others. And see, he's starting just in very few words, he's trying to refocus us into the right direction. You know, don't just be thinking about yourself. Put others first. Remember Christ, when he said, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, the whole law can be summed up in two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Paul's kind of saying that too, right? The good of others, putting others first. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising question or conscience. For, and then he put in quotes, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Okay, and that's from Psalm chapter 24. Well, that's a good quote that time. See, everything is the Lord's. And what we need to do is make sure that we're listening to the right voice, not the voice of the world. The world will often mislead us, or it will take some truth and it'll twist it a little bit. Well, the Bible doesn't say this, does it? And it'll twist it a little bit and get you off kilter. Again, in John chapter 10, 27, my sheep listen to my voice. See, there's a difference between listening and obeying, isn't there? See, I have a son, most of you know, he met him, he's five and a half, as he'll always let you know, and we limit his amount of time that he can play video games, and he's found some fun video games. I enjoy them too. But what we do is we put those parameters around him, and we say, okay, 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever, and then we say, and that's it. Well, he can't read times, he doesn't know, so he has to wait for mom or dad to say, okay, that's 10 minutes is up. And so what we'll do is we'll say, okay, Matthew, time to end your game. And he knows how to end it. He clicks the little red X in the top corner. He knows. But he hears us with his ears because he replies to us. Oh, okay. Matthew, it's time to end your game. Okay. And if we, Matthew, well, I just got to finish the level. He heard us, but he's beginning to not obey right away, which is a bit of a problem, which is now why we limit him to 10 minutes. It used to be a little bit longer. Now it's 10 minutes till he can listen to mom and dad. But listening doesn't mean just hearing us. It means listening and obeying. You see, what he's doing is in his head, I know what he's thinking because that's what I would do too. He's saying, okay, I'll stop right after this level. That's what he's thinking in his head, and I know it because I'm a boy too, and I don't want to ever end my video games. Okay, so there are voices that we can hear. So the first voice is the voice of the world. The second voice is the voice of our flesh, and I'm going to need to start picking it up a bit now, kicking it into high gear, so you got to listen faster, or I got to talk faster, one or the other, and I don't usually talk very fast, so you got to listen faster. Okay, Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Okay, so our flesh often will mislead us. Okay, my flesh always says, yeah, every time you drive past a Boston cream donut, Every time you drive past a Tim Horton Donuts, there is a Boston cream waiting for you, Glenn. Go get it. Everything's permissible. That verse pops into my head. Oh, wait a minute. Not everything is beneficial. Okay, I gotta watch my own theology sometimes. Okay, but so our body is gonna lead us often in the wrong way. Right? Anyone relate to that? Okay, I won't show hands. I'll show my hand for you. Okay, but this is what it says. Galatians 5:16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature, or our flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. You see, again, Paul is teaching us that we have freedom from the law, but it's when we're free from the law, it doesn't mean we can do whatever we want. Everything is permissible. No. But he's saying we're free from the law because we're now living under the authority of the Holy Spirit guiding us, or his guidance. So we need to be careful that we don't listen to the voice of the world or our own flesh, because our flesh is in conflict with the Spirit. And so that only leaves one other voice, in my opinion, and that's God. And that's our third voice that we can listen to, and that would be God. And Galatians 6:7, why did I write that one down? Let's see. Sometimes I write things down, I don't know why I put them in the margin. Oh, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. See, we have to be very careful with what we do with our lives and how we live our lives, because if we sow to our sinful nature, if we give in and we do what we want, we're going to reap the benefits or the non-benefits of it. And so we need to listen to God. And how we do that and how we make sure that we're not just listening to the church, because what happens if, well, I'm sure that it wouldn't happen here, you know, the church starts going, everything is permissible for me. Okay, but where can we make sure? How do we have our mind attuned with God so closely that when someone says something that's a little bit off, that we go, oh, that's not really true. I think what they meant was this. And we can correct them. Right? Maybe not in front of everyone. You know, you said this, Pastor Glenn. Oh, I did? Really? Sometimes I say things that, oh, that's not what I meant at all. You know, I have no problem. If you want to correct me, please do. But how do you know that you're hearing from God? One is, does it sit well with the Word of God? Is it contrary to what the Bible itself says? There's one kind of protection for you. If what you're thinking to do, or if you're praying and you're asking God to guide you and stuff, and you think, okay, yeah, I should do this, but if it's against the Word of God, I bet you didn't hear from God. Another thing that's very important is actual stillness. And this is a spiritual discipline, I believe. Our lives are often very busy, and sometimes the noise around us distracts us. I have a couple of kids in my class, and they honestly, they're in my mind a lot because I'm so worried about them, because they're just not doing well in school, and they have a negative attitude, and there's nothing I can do short sight of giving them a little nudge like that, and I'm not allowed to do that. So, you know, they just, you know, it's time to do work in school, and just sit there, and I stand over them. Where, oh, here's your book. Let me open it for you. Okay, there's where you're supposed to read. There's where you. Here's a pencil for you. It's sharp. You know, and these kids are on my mind because I'm worried for them, and I'm in touch with the parents about their attitude, and then you know, it's exam time in my school, and so I'm worried about. Not just, well, I don't have to write it, but I had to mark it. So I'm worrying about getting all this marking done. And, you know, all of these pressures and stresses fill our minds, and so much so that it's hard to hear from God. But when we're spending time with God, are we really focused on Him so that we can hear from Him? When you came into worship this morning, were you able to put aside those things that you have to run to right after service, or what's kind of on your plate for on your desk on for Monday morning? You know, stillness. Just a couple of other little quick things before I finish. I think we need to, in some sense, have a bit of an action plan. And I always like this part of a message, and that is this. If we want to make sure that we're hearing from God, we need to make sure that we know truth. And so here is a truth that I believe is valuable and will take you far in your life. It's found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's a foundational Bible verse for most of us. But it reminds you that when you are tempted to do something that you kind of know is wrong, but you're starting to get in that battle of rationalizing, oh, well, it's not that bad. And when you're having that battle, if you can quote this verse to yourself, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. It's a foundational Bible verse, probably one of the very first verses that you learned when you became a Christian. The old has passed, the new has come. You're no longer that man or that woman who used to do those things, but now you live a new life that's hidden in Christ, and you need to begin transforming your mind. You need to know truths like that. So memorizing scripture and knowing verses like that to guide you when you're in temptation, because your pastor won't always be standing over you when you're about to sin. Your parents won't be always there. Your girlfriend won't always be there, or your boyfriend won't always be there. Sometimes you're alone and you're tempted with sin and you have to have some kind of battle. You've got to have the armor of God on you. And one of our only weapons is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So know it. And then you know truth. Because when the world says one thing and it's not right, you can combat it, just as Christ did. When he was tempted, he used scripture. The second thing is live by the Spirit. And I don't have time to get into Galatians chapter 5, but what a powerful chapter that is. Galatians 5, 16, right through to the end, verse 25. It starts off with, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And it ends in verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so there is this essence and sense of we need to be in tune with God. We need to make sure that we're walking with Him. And that comes through yielding our lives and our decisions to Him. And then the last one that I'll leave you with is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 22. And it's a passage about living as a child of God, or as someone who follows after Him. And it says this, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Contrasting that with a life of immorality. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true likeness and holiness. Wow. We need to learn the Word of God. You heard of Him and were taught in Him. That's why Christian education time at the end of the service is so important. Your Sunday school time is not just for children. It's for everyone. We can all continue to learn and grow in our walk with God. So that's what I would like to share with you this morning, that we need to make sure that the voices that we hear are not just voices that resonate with us, unless we're walking in the Spirit. We need to make sure that the voices we hear, the suggestions that people are making, even the desires that we have, are in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, let's pray, and then our worship team will come. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for being our guide. We ask, Lord, that as each one of us struggles with hearing your voice, that you would help us to have an action plan, to know your voice, and to follow it, and to obey it. We thank you, God, for your word this morning and for the insights that we've gained from it. Help us each to apply it, not just be hearers of the word, but also doers. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.